When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Skims or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and great marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. It's home of Shop Pay, the number one checkout in the world. You can use it to boost conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going through to checkout. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Allbirds uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/income.
Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today, I will analyze the case of Phoenix Ickner. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Phoenix Ickner was born on August 18, 2004, and lived in Tallahassee, Florida. His parents, Christopher Ickner and Anne Marie Erickson, separated and were involved in a contentious custody dispute. They accused each other of domestic violence and stalking. In March 2015, his mother, Anne Marie, took him to Norway, telling his father, Christopher, that she was taking him to South Florida. In July 2015, Anne Marie was arrested and charged with kidnapping. She later pleaded no contest and was sentenced to 200 days in prison. In 2010, Christopher married a sheriff's deputy named Jessica, which meant that Jessica was the stepmother of Phoenix. Originally, Phoenix had been named Christian Erickson, but in 2020, he changed his name to Phoenix Ickner. He lived in a 1,700-square-foot house on Kennelly Court in Tallahassee. In May 2022, Phoenix graduated from high school. He attended Tallahassee State College before transferring to Florida State University. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On April 17, 2025, at 11:58 a.m., the police received multiple 911 calls in reference to an active shooter at the Florida State University campus. The shooter, who was described as a white male wearing a red shirt, was between the Student Union and Moore Auditorium. When the police arrived, they encountered Phoenix Ickner and saw him firing a pistol at a fleeing person. The police shot Phoenix in his jaw and placed him under arrest. Phoenix survived his injuries. After conducting an investigation, here is what the police said happened. It is important to remember these are only allegations. Phoenix Ickner arrived on campus in his SUV at about 11 a.m. At 11:57 a.m., he exited his vehicle and pointed a Remington 12-gauge shotgun at a student. The weapon did not discharge. It's not clear exactly why the weapon did not fire. The safety may have been on, the shotgun may have been unloaded, or there could have been a malfunction. After failing to get the shotgun to fire, Phoenix produced a Glock 21 semi-automatic pistol chambered in .45 ACP and began shooting at students. Two students were wounded on the grass outside the Student Union. At 11:58 a.m., Phoenix entered the Student Union and chased people throughout the building. He fatally shot a food service vendor named Tyru Chaba. After this, he ran toward the bookstore entrance and fired at a group of students. Three of them were injured. At 11:59 a.m., Phoenix entered the food court and ran up behind the campus dining director, Robert Morales. Phoenix shot Robert in the back, killing him. He then chased a student through the food court while shooting at her. At 12 p.m., Phoenix exited the building. 23 seconds later, he was shot by the police. In total, Phoenix killed two people and injured five with gunfire. One person was injured while fleeing the scene. Both the weapons he used in the attack belonged to his stepmother, Jessica. Phoenix was charged with two counts of first-degree homicide and seven counts of attempted first-degree homicide. Prosecutors have announced they intend to seek the death penalty against him. The investigation into the shooting revealed that Phoenix had spent several months before the attack discussing various topics with ChatGPT, including some related to a mass shooting. On April 21, 2026, the Florida Attorney General's office launched a criminal investigation into OpenAI and ChatGPT. The Attorney General said, quote, "If ChatGPT was a person, it would be facing charges for murder. This criminal investigation will determine whether OpenAI bears criminal responsibility for ChatGPT's actions in the shooting at Florida State University last year, unquote. A civil lawsuit for wrongful death, negligence, defective design, and other claims was filed against OpenAI by the wife of Tyru Chabo. Tyru was one of the two people killed in the attack. Lawyers for the family of the other man who was killed, Robert Morales, announced plans to file a lawsuit as well. Now moving to my analysis. From March 2024 to the day of the shooting on April 17, 2025, Phoenix Ickner exchanged over 13,000 messages with ChatGPT. Here is a summary of these messages. Phoenix talked to the chatbot about Nazis, Hitler, and Christian nationalism. He wondered what would have happened if the Confederates were victorious in the Civil War or the Germans won World War II. Phoenix identified as a Baptist who hated Israel and liked fascism. The chatbot helped Phoenix with his homework, weight loss, and workout routines. It gave him tips for attracting a romantic partner, told him how to dress, and advised him on his hairstyle. Phoenix referred to himself as an incel, which is short for involuntary celibate. This is a person who is unable to obtain sex. He indicated that he was lonely, did not fit in, and was frequently rejected by women. He believed that women hated him because he was ugly, and he asked the chatbot if he was fat or ugly. Phoenix felt as though society was against him because he was only 5 feet 5 inches tall. He wondered if it was soft for a man like him to be more feminine. There was a female college student who Phoenix had been obsessing over since she went out on a date with him in March 2024. Phoenix asked ChatGPT for lines that he could say during sex with this woman. Despite his request, it did not seem like sex was a real possibility here. Phoenix indicated this woman blocked him on social media. He was worried that he might be stalking her by accident. Phoenix also mentioned a girl who he supposedly had a long-distance romantic relationship with. He asked the chatbot to help him craft respectful messages that would convince her to send him clothing-challenged images of herself. ChatGPT offered him a message designed to do this, despite Phoenix indicating that the girl was 15 years old. Phoenix described himself as depressed and said that he believed God had given up on him. During the exchanges of messages, there were recurring themes introduced by Phoenix of terrorism and mass shootings. He had a particular interest in school shootings. Phoenix talked about the 1999 Columbine High School shooting, the 2007 Virginia Tech shooting, the 2014 shooting at Florida State University, and the 2023 shooting at the Covenant School in Nashville, Tennessee. He also had an interest in the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing and the political ideology of the perpetrator, Timothy McVeigh. There were many conversations about firearms and ammunition, including what ammunition to use for maximum damage to the human body and how to obtain suppressors. Phoenix uploaded images of his stepmother's firearms and ammunition. ChatGPT identified the weapons as a Remington 12-gauge shotgun and a Glock 21 pistol. The chatbot told Phoenix how to deactivate the safety on the shotgun after he requested this information. It also told him that the Glock pistol did not have a safety. Phoenix asked about the lethality of a shotgun at close range. He wanted to know where on the head a gunshot would result in the highest probability of death. Phoenix expressed an interest in what made a school shooting attract attention and get on the national news, like how many people had to die. ChatGPT told him there was no official threshold. 3 or more people killed, excluding the shooter, is often the unofficial bar for widespread national media attention. The story was more likely to break if children were involved, the shooting happened at an elementary school or a major college, the shooter was a student or staff member, or there was something culturally or politically charged, for example, a manifesto, a racial motive, or mental health implications. At the end of the response, the chatbot wrote, quote, put simply, usually 3 or more dead, or around 5 to 6 total victims, is enough to push it onto national media, though the setting and online attention can change that, unquote. Phoenix asked the chatbot what time is busiest in the FSU Student Union. The chatbot indicated that the busiest periods were during weekday lunchtimes, between 11:30 a.m. and 1:30 p.m., and specifically mentioned that Fridays may be busier. Phoenix asked what would happen if there was a mass shooting at FSU. The chatbot said that the reaction would likely follow a pattern seen with other high-profile mass shootings. The media coverage would likely focus on the shooter's background and possible motive. The chatbot shared information about the legal process, sentencing, and incarceration after Phoenix asked what would happen to the shooter. When considering the allegations against Phoenix Ickner and his disturbing conversations with ChatGPT, is the chatbot liable for wrongful death? Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea that ChatGPT is liable, starting with the inculpatory factors. The chatbot offered advice that could have assisted Phoenix in the attack, for instance, pointing out the busiest time at the student union and providing instructions on how to use the weapons. It did not appear to recognize the significance of the question related to what would increase the probability of national media coverage of a shooting. ChatGPT did not connect the dots. It did not recognize the larger theme. Phoenix was clearly contemplating a dangerous activity that would harm others. OpenAI marketed ChatGPT as a safety-oriented product. It wasn't like they claimed from the beginning it was hazardous or had no safety component. Moving to the exculpatory factors, according to law enforcement, the direct intentional actor in the attack was Phoenix Ickner. He allegedly obtained the weapons, went to the campus, selected the victims, pulled the trigger, and continued firing until he was shot by the police. Prior to his interactions with ChatGPT, Phoenix already had his ideology, access to weapons, knowledge of the location, a grievance, and an intent to kill. The factual information supplied by the chatbot to Phoenix was publicly available. There wasn't anything special about it. Phoenix could have accessed it from a variety of different sources. An OpenAI spokesperson argued that ChatGPT provided factual responses to questions with information that can be found broadly across public sources on the internet. It did not encourage or promote illegal or harmful activity. Some people have argued that whenever a lawsuit tries to restrict public information, it runs into First Amendment concerns. In isolation, some of the questions that Phoenix asked the chatbot were ambiguous, like, what time is busiest in the FSU Student Union? This question is consistent with someone who is simply trying to avoid the rush. A question like, what happens after a mass shooting, could be asked for a writing project, a political debate, or morbid curiosity. During the conversation, the chatbot did advise Phoenix to see a therapist. It wasn't like the program completely ignored the signs of mood disturbance. There is no clear, special relationship between ChatGPT and the victims of the attack. Tort law is reluctant to impose liability on a third party for failing to prevent another person's violent crime, unless a special duty exists. When considering all the evidence in this case, do I believe that ChatGPT is liable for wrongful death? In my opinion, no. The lawsuit raises some legitimate concerns about ChatGPT, but the perpetrator in this case was, allegedly, Phoenix Ickner. It is also strange to place the burden of pattern recognition on the chatbot. The lawsuit essentially argues that ChatGPT should have recognized the dangerous pattern in the messages, but that treats the chatbot almost like a person with judgment, intuition, and moral responsibility rather than a tool providing public information. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Phoenix Ickner was upset because he was unable to obtain sex. Again, he identified as an incel. He was socially awkward, unattractive, and exceedingly creepy. Romantic success was not something that would come easily for him. On the internet, Phoenix found a lot of material about the incel community. He realized that he was not alone, and he learned that a small and extreme subset of that community was interested in violence. Phoenix was attracted to the idea that an incel is somehow justified in killing people to retaliate for romantic rejection. He hated society and wanted to see other people pay for his suffering. Phoenix did not have enough knowledge to carry out an attack. He did not understand how the safeties operated on the weapons or even the ammunition requirements. For instance, he wondered if it was possible to load the 12-gauge shotgun with 9mm Luger cartridges. At the beginning of his attack, he could not figure out how to fire the shotgun, despite having received advice on this topic from the chatbot. He was able to figure out how to use the Glock pistol. Phoenix ran around the campus in a disorganized fashion, chasing people and shooting. If he had been a more competent killer, many more people would have died. As far as the involvement of ChatGPT, this case presents a contradiction for OpenAI. When a product is useful, it is described as intelligent and personalized. When it misses a pattern of discussions about mass shootings, extremist ideology, and firearms, suddenly it's just a neutral tool providing public information. This puts OpenAI in a challenging situation. They can't have it both ways. I imagine that there will come a day when the company will be forced by a court to accept responsibility for the advice offered by the product. The more they make the chatbot act like a human, the more the program will be held to human standards. Many people worry that AI will rise up and create advanced killer robots like in the Terminator, but maybe the immediate danger is more insidious. Perhaps the real threat is not that AI will develop ill intent of its own. Rather, it will amplify and collaborate with the dark desires humans already possess. Those are my thoughts in the case of Phoenix Ickner. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.